Romans chapter number 1. And we're just simply going to consider tonight the missionary. The missionary. We'll begin in Romans chapter 1, read beginning in verse number 1. And then we will read through verse number 6. Romans 1 and verse number 1. The scripture says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Before I read on, let me just again encourage you that when you come across in your reading of Scripture or hearing in the preaching of Scripture, when you come across statements like that, you should take note of them. If you intend to defend the gospel or defend the truth or the faith, and you intend to help people to understand that the Bible is a unique book, it is the very words of the living God, you need to know verses like that. So let's read it again. He talked about the gospel of God, and then in parentheses, he says, which, the gospel, he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Bible is not two different books, two different gods. It's one book, one God, one missionary theme. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Old Testament and New Testament. So we're back to the gospel now. So if we left the parentheses out in verse number 2, it would simply say, from verse number 1, separated unto the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. I want you to consider with me from those few verses three things. I'm going to consider, first of all, the missionary's credentials. The missionary's credentials. Then we're going to consider the missionary's capital. We're not talking about a place. We're not talking about his home base. When we talk about the word capital, we're talking in an economic sense. We're talking about his resources, his reserves, that which is his supply. But the word capital fits the outline better. So we're talking about the missionary's credential, the missionary's capital, and the missionary's course. The missionary's course. So let's think about it tonight. Go back with me to the statement made in verse number 1 about the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul was a missionary. He was a sent individual sent by the church at Antioch, called of God, and the same God that called him instructed the church assembled together in Antioch to send him out with Barnabas on a missionary trip. And he makes three missionary trips during the course of his ministry and service for the Lord before God takes him home. So Paul is definitely a missionary. Well, let's consider from Paul what a missionary's credentials are. Number one, he's a servant. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That means that his life is committed to obedience to the instruction of another. A servant has a master, and the master is the one who gives the instruction to the servant. So a servant would be somebody who has a daily communication with the will of his master. Paul was a missionary. Paul walked with God. Paul sought the understanding of the will of God and what God wanted him to do. Not only does he have a daily communication with the will of his master, but a servant is one who has a daily dependence upon the provisions of his master. In those days, if you were a servant, you didn't get up in the morning and decide what you were going to do, where you're going to go, how long you were going to be. you went to the master, you communed with the master, or the master came to you and he met with you and he gave you instructions and said, this is what I want you to do today. This is your schedule for the day. This is what you do. And here is what you need to get the job done. It was the master's job to supply the resources for the servant. So when we think about a missionary, we understand that a missionary is first of all a servant. I want to ask you something. How much like the Lord Jesus are you tonight? How much like the Lord Jesus am I tonight? Jesus was the first great missionary, and Jesus was among us as he that serveth. John chapter 13. He said to his disciples, I'm among you as one that serveth. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so ye ought to do one to another. Servant's not greater than his Lord. The Bible says that though he was equal with God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. I want you, church, tonight to think about the fact that we live in a Christianity that is turned upside down. We look at God as our servant. Before you get mad at me for saying that, let me ask you, how often in your communication with God is your communication about what you want God to do for you or need God to do for you, as opposed to asking God what he needs you to do for him? Our service is spelled S-E-R-V-U-S instead of S-E-R-V-I-C-E. But the Bible says that Paul, following in the footsteps of his Savior, the Lord Jesus, was a servant, one who existed for the purpose of fulfilling the will of a master. This wasn't a service relationship that was forced or imposed upon him. Paul was compelled by love. He said, the love of Christ constrains me. And it's so it ought to be for you and I. We serve because we love. We recognize that we're debtors and we're responsible to the world. And so we want to serve the Savior. So first of all, the missionary's credentials are defined by the word servant. Secondly, by the word sent. You say, Pastor, I don't see that in verse number one. I know you don't, because I'm alliterating. For the outline, it says called to be an apostle. I'm not sure you're familiar with what the word apostle means, but the word apostle means one sent. So Paul said, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, or called to go forth. I am one sent forth. If you hold your place there, turn back a couple of pages into the book of Acts and chapter number 22. Acts chapter 22, Paul is giving his testimony. In Acts chapter 22, and he tells about witnessing the death of Stephen, the first martyr, in verse number 20. When the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And yet that would refer back to verse 19, Lord. He's talking about God, the Lord. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So he was one sent forth. He was sent to the Gentiles. By the way, in Paul's day, the Gentiles were the rest of the world. Paul was a Hebrew. Paul was one of the children of Israel, but he was sent to the world because all the world outside of his own people were Gentiles. You understand that? So he was sent into the world. A missionary is one sent. So he's a servant of the Lord Jesus. He is sent into the world. And then thirdly, the missionary's credentials are defined by the word separated. Look at, again, verse number 1 of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The word separated means to be marked off from others by boundaries or limits. And when you say you're separated from or you're separated unto, it implies that you're separated from. If you're separated unto something, you're separated from. So when a man and a woman get married, they're separated from others unto each other. And Paul said, I'm separated unto the gospel. I want you to think tonight about the cost in the missionary's life. And it was referred to this morning. I don't remember if it was a Sunday school hour or the morning message about the parents of Brother Tingson's wife thinking about the children being taken away to a foreign country, separated from. You cannot go to one country without leaving another, right? So the missionary, whoever the missionary is, his credentials are, he's separated unto the gospel. I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life where you can clearly say, I'm separated unto the gospel. Separated from what? From what has the gospel separated you? Now, the gospel is the good news of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that salvation is available through faith in Jesus Christ. Has that ever separated you from anything? Are you in any measure separated from anything for the cause of the gospel? But what a missionary's credentials is that he recognizes there's nothing more important than the gospel, and he's willing to separate from other things, from other activities, from other fellowships, from other friendships, from other pursuits, from other dreams, in order to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So I'll say more about this in just a moment, but let's establish that Paul was a missionary, and he tells us his credentials. He was a servant of Jesus Christ, sent into the world, separated unto the gospel. He didn't go to see the sights in the foreign country. He didn't go to enjoy another culture. He went to preach the gospel. He was separated because of the constraints of the gospel. That's the missionary's credential. Number two, we see the missionary's capital. This is very important. The missionary's capital, or we're talking about the missionary's resources. He has been sent, separated unto the gospel. So how will he sustain himself? How will he do the work of a missionary? How will he see people's eyes that are blinded opened? And how will he see them turn from idols to serve the true and living God? The answer is in verse 5. By whom we have received grace. The missionary's capital is nothing more and certainly nothing less than the grace of God. We have received grace. What a wonderful word. We sing the song Amazing Grace all the time without ever thinking about the depth and the breadth of that word, grace. It's a word hard to define, hard to ever plumb the depths of. It's a word that is instrumental in our salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. We most commonly understand grace as unmerited favor. But often in our church, we've considered that grace is more than that. It's not just God's riches at Christ's expense, but I've told you that grace can be understood this way. God's resources available for continual evangelism. Paul said, my capital, my resources are the grace of God. God consistently and continuously makes his resources available to me for the work of evangelism. Not only that, we said grace is God's resources abounding to his children every day. God has an abundant store of favor and blessing that he wants to give to his children every day. Why are you preaching this, Pastor? Because I'm convinced that in this room are people that are missionaries and don't know it, or that ought to be missionaries and are not, because you don't understand that it's not about your education. It's not about your pocketbook. It's not about your ability to communicate or speak. It's not about your training. Those things are not your resources. Your resources as one who is a servant of Christ are the riches of your master whom you serve. It's not up to you to fund your ministry. It's up to him who called you and sent you and separated you unto his work. You understand that? And God has an abundant supply. A missionary's capital is not how much money he has in the bank or how many churches he has supporting him. It is the grace of God. Paul said clearly when he wrote to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when Paul was struggling in his ministry, he said to that same church in a second letter, he said, I had this thing that was deeply troubling to me, and I asked the Lord to take it away from me. And his answer to me was, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, my grace is all you need. In my grace, you'll find the supply for everything you need. And Paul said, if that's the case, I'm going to glory in this trouble. I'm going to glory in this problem because I love your grace. I love your supply. I'm simply trying to say to you that the missionary does not have to rely upon himself or upon his learning or upon anyone else. He has received the grace of God. Remember what Paul said? Paul said, everything that was gain to me, that I counted gain, that I had to have, I now count but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. His values changed. So grace is God's goodwill to me in saving me, but God's grace is also God's good work in me, his good will toward me, and his good work in me and through me. The missionary's capital is grace. I want to go to the third thought tonight. The missionary's credentials, he's a servant who's been sent and separated under the gospel. His capital is very simple, grace. His course, notice again verse number 5. By whom we received grace and apostleship. And of course, again, we've received apostleship, but we've already mentioned that as part of his credentials. He's sent as a servant, separated and sent. But we've received that for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. I want you to focus on that statement with me for the next few minutes. For obedience to the faith among all nations. The course, that pathway, that plan that the missionary is to follow, that which is to govern everything that the missionary does, is obedience to the faith among all nations. Now, first of all, let me talk to you about what is the faith? Because we need to understand what the faith is if we're going to understand what it means to be obedient to the faith among all nations. The faith. If you look at that statement, the faith, throughout the New Testament, it's referring to all the truth that is comprehended in the gospel. So the fact of man's sin, the fact that sin is punishable by death, the fact that God has provided a substitute, and that Christ is the Redeemer from sin, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, and then the commissioning of Christ that his disciples should go into all the world and preach the gospel. All of that is comprehended in this statement, the faith. And I must remind you tonight, there are many religions, but there's only one faith. I'm not talking about only one belief, because there are many beliefs in the world. I'm talking about there's only one faith, the faith. It's a singular, the faith. The faith that God has revealed, that which is true. It's one faith. There are many religions, but one faith. That faith has been once delivered to the saints, according to the book of Jude. And we stand fast in the faith. And we are set for the defense of the faith of the gospel. So the faith is the truth of all that God has said or taught in the gospel. we have received grace and have been sent, apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations. We might at first glance, without careful thought, just think this way. So that the nations might be obedient to the faith. But that's not what's being taught here. That is true. But the thought here is, Paul said, as a missionary, I have been given grace that would enable me to be obedient to the faith. And my obedience to the faith is to be practiced among all the nations. You understand? Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, he said, you're to obey the faith. Now, what is it? You say, how does that figure, being obedient to the faith? All right. If the faith is the gospel, and people need to hear the gospel in order to believe the gospel, well, let's just do it this way. Go to Romans chapter 10. You're very familiar with this, but and this may be elementary for you, but we're going to go a step further in just a minute. But I want you to see this again. Romans chapter 10. Here is the declaration of Scripture. Romans 10 verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The faith teaches that. The faith revealed in Scripture is that God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the faith declares that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? But then Paul, having said that, asks a series of questions. And again, you're probably well familiar with them, but let's review them again. How shall they then call on him whom they've not believed? So the faith is that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord could be saved. But that poses a question. Who's going to call upon someone they've never believed in? If they don't believe in them, why would they call upon them? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've never heard or have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So, if we are not obedient to the faith being, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's a series of questions that that poses. We believe that, but how are they going to call if they don't believe? Or why would they call on someone they don't believe in? And how would they ever come to believe in him if they've never heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? How are they going to preach except they be sent? So it's our responsibility to be obedient to the faith among all nations. If God has called someone to be a missionary and sent them into whatever country or whatever place in the world, they have what they need if they have God, because God's grace is sufficient. So they have the capital they need, and the course of their activity is simple. It is to obey the faith in that nation to which they've been called, to be obedient to the faith in that nation. Let me ask a question. You believe, do you not? Or do you call yourself a believer? Are you obedient to your faith? What does your faith proclaim? What does your faith teach? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what our faith teaches. The faith says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know the Bible. You have a Bible. Your neighbor, do they have a Bible? Do they know the Bible? Do they know the word of God? How are they going to have faith? How are they going to believe if they don't hear the word of God? Right? So our responsibility is to be obedient to the faith. Now, let me go back for a minute, because what you're thinking when I said we're talking about the missionary tonight and giving you the missionary's credentials, you're thinking about somebody like Brother Tingson and his wife, who are going to a specific field. But let's think about the missionary's credentials again. First of all, he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer this question in your mind. I won't ask you to answer it out loud, but answer this question in your mind. Is there any believer, anyone who has professed faith in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation, that is not, in biblical terminology, a servant of Jesus Christ? Is there anyone that should not be a servant of Jesus Christ? Jesus said to his disciples one day, why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say? Obedience is taught completely throughout Scripture. Abraham obeyed, not knowing whither he went. What did he obey? He obeyed the gospel, the faith. Say, Pastor, how do you know? Well, do you remember last Sunday morning? Galatians chapter 3? Knowing this, the Scripture, foreseeing that Abraham's faith preached the gospel before to Abraham. God preached the gospel, and Abraham believed the gospel. God said, I'm going to bless the nations. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through the seed that I give you. Now, I want you to get up, and I want you to go into a land. By the way, that's the original Great Commission. Get up and go to a land that I'll show you. And I'm going to bless you, and you'll be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Obedience to the faith is to believe what God has said and then to act. The demonstration of our faith is obedience. We've been sent. So I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I suggest that every child of God is to be a servant of Jesus Christ. So that's a credential of a missionary. Credential of a missionary. What about the second sent? Didn't Jesus say, you're the light of the world? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you not a missionary? Are you not to be shining and turning men from darkness to light? Are we not sent into all the world? Is a great commission only for the 12 disciples? They were told to win folks, baptize them, and then teach them to do what? To observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So whoever believed the message of the Apostle Paul, got baptized, was taught by the Apostle Paul to be obedient to all things God had commanded Paul. What did God command Paul to do? Go and share the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. I'm a sent one. You're a sent one. You may not be sent to a specific location or place, but you are a servant of the Lord Jesus who has the responsibility to go, and he has commanded you to go. First to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and you may stay in Jerusalem. You may go to Judea. You may go into Samaria. You may go to the uttermost part of the earth. But are you going? I'm saying to you that the credentials of this missionary are the same credentials that I as a child of God own. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am sent, and by the way, I am separated unto the gospel. The Bible teaches separation, biblical separation. The gospel of Jesus Christ ought to separate me from sinful practice. It ought to separate me from sinful fellowships. It ought to separate me from sinful pursuits or secular pursuits. The gospel is that men have no hope outside of Christ, but in Christ there is hope for every sinner. And that should take priority as we studied Jonah the last couple of weeks. That should take priority over anything else in our life. We are separated under the gospel. The gospel has this effect that we have good news that men's lives depend upon. Therefore, it should separate us from earthly mundane pursuits that mean nothing and profit nothing and value nothing in this world. So the truth is, we're missionaries. The credentials of Paul are the credentials of every believer, if we're honest about it. And we're to be obedient to the faith, not just here at home, but among all nations. We've received grace. Why? Why has God given us grace? So that we can bask in the sunlight of his grace and forget about everybody else that is unaware of his grace? No, we've received grace for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. But it's more than that. Go to the end of the book, Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. So this is for obedience to the faith, our obedience to the faith among all nations. But in Romans chapter 16, we'll start in verse 24 because as he starts the book, he ends the book. As he starts the letter, he ends the letter. Verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I'm sorry? The what? The grace? What did Paul say he had received? What was Paul's capital? grace. And he said, it's not just limited to me. To all these believers assembled at Rome, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You've received grace for salvation and in salvation. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest or made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, watch, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So Paul said, I've received grace for obedience to the faith among all nations. But he said, the gospel that I've received is supposed to be made known to all the nations for their obedience. Not obedience to the faith, but their obedience of faith. Did you know faith is obedience? The Bible says, God hath the times of this ignorance God hath winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So if it's a commandment of God to repent and believe, you cannot exercise faith without obedience. Obedience means turning from sin, repentance towards sin, and putting your trust in Jesus Christ. And so we've received grace for apostleship so that we might be obedient to the faith among all the nations. And what we're doing among the nations is sharing them and making known to them the commandment of God so that they might come to the obedience of faith, that they might exercise faith and be obedient to the gospel in trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Faith always implies a submission or a surrender, and faith always expresses itself in willing obedience. The gospel has not been given to the church that we might talk about it, that we might discuss it, that we might dispute it, but the gospel has been given to us that we might obey it, that we might submit to it. The only real measurement of a true Christianity is a love for Jesus Christ. And the only real manifestation of a love for Christ is obedience to the faith. Why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say? That's a missionary's course. He's being obedient to his faith. She's being obedient to her faith among all nations, so that the nations, knowing the gospel, the commandment of God to repent and believe, might be obedient to faith, or might practice the obedience of faith, responding in faith to the gospel. I want to say this about faith, because sometimes we forget. We have these funny humanistic definitions of scriptural terminology. Faith is not believing, or faith is not about everything turning out okay. Faith is being okay with however everything turns out, because we're trusting God. We're his servants. It's not ours to question. It's just ours to do. We're servants sent, separated from the gospel, and sent into a world so that we can be obedient to our faith, that they might practice or demonstrate the obedience of faith. So those are the missionary's credentials. Are you a missionary? Should you be? What's the missionary's capital? What do you need to be a missionary? Grace. Grace, that's it. Just grace. And God's grace is abundant. And God's grace is exceeding. And God's grace is sufficient. And what's the course if you're a missionary? Being obedient to the faith among all nations. Are you being obedient to your faith? And it's so that the nations might obey the faith, might respond in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. One more note, going back to our text in Romans chapter 1. At the beginning of verse 5, he said, by whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, by whom we have received. I want to ask you a question tonight. Paul clearly testifies that he has received. He doesn't just say it in words. We look at his life and we know he's received it. He's received grace because he's doing what ordinary men would not do and could not do. He is defying the odds. He is suffering persecution. He is alone. He is preaching the gospel. He is establishing churches. He's seeing people's lives changed and cities turned upside down. How's he doing that? He's received grace. The word receiving does not just imply giving. In actual fact, the word receiving, the emphasis is on taking. So if I give you a gift, it's not yours until you receive it, until you take it. Have you received God's grace for apostleship? Paul said, I have. Paul said, I'm a servant who's been sent and separated under the gospel, and I have received, I have reached out and taken the grace of God. I am embracing, I am dipping deep into, I am digging deep in, I am relying heavily upon the grace of God. We have received grace and apostleship. Have you received it? Have you taken it? Are you actively leaning upon the grace and the goodness of God for your work? I suggest to you tonight, God wants every one of us to be a missionary. It may not be on a foreign field, but he wants missionaries on the foreign field. I would also suggest to you tonight that God didn't call Gary Tingson to go to Australia when Gary Tingson was living for the world and living for self, but when Gary Tingson was surrendered to God and serving in a local church and busy availing himself of the grace of God so that he could be obedient to his faith at home. And God said, I need a servant in Australia. I need an obedient servant. I need one who understands that I have the grace to supply them for the ministry, one who's trusting me already for grace. And he chose Gary, and he'll choose you. God has given you grace to serve. And the grace that he gives is to make you or enable you to be obedient to your faith among all the nations. It begins at home and then spreads out from there. I trust you'll pray about this matter. I trust you'll realize that all of our excuses are gone if we understand the life of a missionary here in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. If we understand that a missionary is somebody who's been saved and he's a servant sent, separated from the gospel, and supplied by God's grace. That's it. And that's available to all of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven,